I woke up about 2 o'clock last night in the morning, and this morning, and was reading the Bible, and I came to the scripture in Psalm 9. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all the miracles you have done. I will be happy because of you, God Most High. I will sing praises to your name. That's what I'm here today to tell you, that I believe that God has performed a miracle. For those of you that don't know me or my family, I am Jamie Campbell. Chris is my husband. We have 3 children. Amelia, she's 6 years old, and Madeline, she'll be 5 in August. And then we have Joey, who will actually be 2 next Sunday. I have several reasons why I wanted to talk to you guys today. The first reason is I just wanted to express our thankfulness to you guys. We just feel like we've never fully thanked you for all the support you guys have given us. The teens especially, we just love them so much. They've just been there for us and supported us, and you guys have brought us meals and cards and just been there for us for everything. And we just love you guys and thank you so much. For those of you that don't know Joey, he's pretty special. And I don't just say that just because he's my son. There's hundreds of people that have prayed for him, and they all love him, and they all say the same thing. But Joey is the little boy screaming with joy in the hallways with a bright blue helmet. Joey was born on July 8th, 2010, screaming and breathing all on his own. I believe this came to be only because prayers were answered. You see, we were told at 16 weeks pregnant with him that he might have Down syndrome. He had an oblong skull and extra skin in his neck. The extra skin was an indicator of Down syndrome. We had a 3D ultrasound taken 2 weeks later to confirm, although that wasn't what was wrong with our sweet baby. Chris and I both vividly remember going to the doctor's office in Carmel. We sat in the car before going in and prayed that whatever we found, we would trust in God. I'm not really sure why I was so confused for the next 2 weeks that followed. Satan, I believe, really tested me. But I'll get back to that in a minute. We went into the office and the doctor scanned my belly and told us that the baby had an occipital encephalocele. I know those of you that don't know much about Joey would have absolutely no idea what that means, but that's okay. It probably took us about 4 months even to remember how to spell it. It basically means that his skull didn't finish forming in utero in the occipital part of the skull. The doctor, she told us that the baby, if born alive, even if we had a C-section, most likely wouldn't be able to eat or breathe on its own. She also said most people have abortions when they are told their babies have this. It's such a gray area that babies usually don't live past birth anyway. She also made sure we knew we could opt to have the baby at Riley and have a C-section to increase its chances of living. But she made sure that we heard her when she said that most likely the baby would die. By this moment, I was shocked. It still hadn't really hit me yet, I think. I looked at Chris and said that I wanted to find out the sex. We were going to wait, but what was the point then if the baby was going to die anyway? So she looked, and she told us that it was a boy. That's when I think it really hit me and I broke down. So we left the office feeling pretty heartbroken. We started driving home. I couldn't even call my mom. I didn't want to break down again. I was totally in shock, I think. Chris called his parents and mine. They were so surprised and upset as well. I remember my mother-in-law couldn't even talk. My mom had a million questions that Chris couldn't answer. We drove home not really sure what to think. I just remember crying most of the way home, just absolutely stunned to think my first baby boy and he was going to die. I just couldn't believe it. I went and seen my OB doctor the next day, and he told me that I had 2 weeks to decide whether or not I wanted to terminate the pregnancy. Even my own doctor agreed that it was such a gray area that he would help me terminate, even though he didn't like helping with abortions. I remember staring at the walls at home completely confused. I would cry out to God and say, "What do you want me to do?" Every time I even thought about aborting my baby, I could only think that I would be killing my baby. But could I really carry a baby 6 more months in my belly, feeling it growing and moving and fall in love with him even more just for him to die? What do I do, God? I never really felt God speak to me for those 2 weeks. I feel that he was definitely quiet for some reason, but not sure why sometimes. Chris said he was behind me with whatever my decision was. It was my body, and he wouldn't help me decide. So I came to the decision that I would terminate the pregnancy. Chris and I both went to the doctors to sign the 18-hour release form. The next morning, I would have the abortion. Even after the signing of the papers, I didn't feel sure about the whole thing. Chris walked me to my car. We had drove separate, and he asked me if I was okay with everything. I said yes, even though I was shaking and so confused. I started driving home and prayed, God, is this really what I should be doing? I called my mom crying, telling her I'd signed the papers and it would be done in the morning. I remember asking her, am I doing the right thing? Please, just tell me what to do. She got quiet for a moment and then said, Jamie, I never wanted to tell you anything because I didn't want to interfere with you making your own decisions. But I feel like this is the right time to tell you that God would choose life. Four words that I believe were from the Holy Spirit. It was like a light bulb had went off in my head. This whole time I should have been listening to God's words, the Bible. I knew the truth. I just wanted what was best for me in my life and my heart. So I told my mom, okay, I'm not going to do it. That was that. Also, who was I to stand in the way of God performing a miracle? So I got home. I told Chris, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do it. Of course, he was like, well, you just signed the papers. What are you talking about? Yeah, I said, I'm not going to do it. God talked to me through my mom and said not to do it, so I'm going to listen. So I called the doctors and told them I had changed my mind, and we set up the next month's appointment. So those next 6 months were so hard. Every time I would go into that doctor's office and see all those big, happy, pregnant women, it was so hard for me. Seriously, they should have a doctor's office just for women whose babies are supposed to die. It's that hard. I would smile at them wanting to be happy for them so badly, but it was just so hard. Toward the end, I wouldn't even go to all my appointments. I would sometimes people would ask me when I was out shopping or running errands, oh, so how far along are you, and what's the sex of the baby? Sometimes I would just answer with a small smile. Other times I felt a tug, I guess from God, and I would tell them my story. Sometimes people would walk away crying or tears in their eyes, others quiet, not sure what to say. I even had a couple people pray for me or tell me that they would pray for me. Sometimes it was really hard working at a restaurant because I got questions almost every day. Jennifer Duncan came up to me last week and she said she remembered coming into Cracker Barrel and asking me about the baby. And I told her, oh, well, don't you know? And I proceeded to tell her what was wrong. She said it sounded like I was in autopilot mode. Like, she said I must have told 100 people by that point in time, so I wasn't faced by telling it anymore. But truthfully, I think after that initial shock, I think I was okay. I wasn't necessarily in autopilot mode. I was just at peace with it all. I prayed that God would give me peace and strength to deal with it, and he did. That's my only explanation for how calm I was during my pregnancy. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I truly believe that God answered that prayer, one of the first prayers answered out of hundreds. So I was pregnant with a baby boy that would most likely die. The months went by absolutely so slowly. Our baby boy, he started growing and moving a lot. How could this baby that is moving so much inside of me have something so wrong with him? Of course, I fell in love with him even more as time went on. I tried to come up with a name for him, but every time I did, Chris didn't like it. One time, I even gave him a whole list of 20 names, I promise, and he rejected every single one of them. I think it was about a month away from delivery when I woke up in the middle of the night and started thinking about him and losing him. And out of nowhere, his name popped into my head, Joey. I really feel like God gave me his name because I had never read his name in any of the baby books or heard it or anything during that time I was pregnant. So I started crying, and Chris woke up, and of course he asked me what was wrong. And I told him, well, I was just thinking about the baby, and well, I've come up with his name. And he was like, well, what is it? And I said, Joey. He said, okay. And that was that. God made it so easy. No arguing, no discussing. Joey was his name. So at least a month before Joey was born, I came to you guys and I asked that you pray over me. I asked that God would heal Joey or give us time with him, whatever was God's will. So you prayed for him and for us to have strength to get through it all. After service that day, John Sheen walked up to me and said with tears in his eyes, he said to me, God has spoken to me about the baby, and he wants your husband to touch your belly and pray for him every day, and he will heal Joey. Of course, I was crying too. He said God even gave him some scripture he needed to tell me. And truthfully, John nor myself can remember the scriptures except the one, this one I did. I'm sure most of you guys know it. It's Psalm 139:13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God knew what was happening to Joey, even though no one else did. He loved Joey and was protecting him. Chris, of course, did as John had said. Truthfully, those were for some pretty tearful moments sometimes. Guys, think. If John had not stepped forth and obeyed God, if Chris had not stepped forth and obeyed God, if I had not stepped forth and obeyed God, had not stepped out in faith, as Chad says, then Joey might not be here today. It's so hard to comprehend that Joey could not be here. To this day, I still feel like it's all been a dream, and I will wake up one day and he'll be gone. The delivery time was coming near. My doctor wanted to have an ultrasound to be sure Joey's head was down in the right position for delivery. I don't think he truly understood my faith. I told him I did not want to see the baby on the screen for fear that I would begin to have doubts, that I wouldn't trust God to perform a miracle. I didn't want any doubts. But of course, I did have doubts at times. I did talk about if he died and when he died, what we would do. We even got the girls ready for the worst. Kristen just told me the other day that she was in the car with the girls and Joey after he was born. I had run into the store and the girls were saying things and talking to her and saying things like, yeah, when Joey dies, we're going to get a new brother or sister. When Joey dies, we're going to get a new car. Kristen didn't know what to think or say. I guess we had prepared them well. We even had Rob Ratliff make Joey a bench to be his headstone. We were going to bury him under a tree on our property. I had a hard time coming up with a verse for it because I wanted it to reflect what we had been through, yet what Joey had been through as well. Rob and I both collaborated on this verse. Zechariah 4:6, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Although Rob had a feeling at the last moment of engraving to not write in the death, that was a good call, Rob. Yet another person listening to God's voice. So delivery day came. Both of our mothers came into town for the delivery. We decided to have Joey at Bloomington Hospital versus Riley, since supposedly there was nothing they could do for him anyway. So why not have him close to home? We went early to sign papers. I was going to be induced since my doctor was leaving for vacation in a few days, and I didn't want a chance having a doctor that didn't know anything about us. The nurse explained all the paperwork to us and asked us some questions about the baby. Then she said, and you realize the baby's going to die, like she was preparing me. I said, well, we're praying for a miracle, but yes, I know that there's a chance that my baby will die. It was like she took my positive attitude as I was loony or something. You're about to deliver a baby that's going to die, yet you're smiling and making jokes with your husband. Kind of, I guess in my head, I was like, sorry, lady, I know you've only had 10 minutes to process this, but I've had 7 months. Plus, I had God's hand upon me. She asked me several times if I was ready, and then we got started. It was the easiest delivery out of all the three of the kids. Joey was born screaming at 4:07 a.m., weighing 9 pounds and 20 and a half ounces. My mom, Chris's mom, and Chris's best friend had all walked out of the room for the actual delivery. But I remember my mom said when she heard that cry from behind the door that it was the sweetest cry she had ever heard. I had to be given a reversal drug to counteract the IV meds I was given, so truthfully the first few minutes are a little blurry. The nurses kept asking if we wanted them to do anything, but Chris told them no, that we wanted to spend as much time with him as we could. About 10 minutes went by and he was still with us. So we let the nurses weigh him and measure him and clean him up a bit. After about 20 minutes, he was acting like he wanted to nurse. Of course, I was so confused. They said he wouldn't do these things. But of course, I let him try, and he could. We were all so amazed. Hours turned into days, and everyone was thrilled. Joey did everything the doctor said he would never do. He had eaten on his own, breathed on his own. He was looking around, and he could hear. The loud sounds would startle him, though, and that usually would cause a seizure. Joey had about 5 seizures while at the hospital. We believe that the pressure from birth put a little blood on his brain and caused the seizures. His sac was almost purple. A few hours after delivery. On day 2, Joey had an MRI taken. That is when we found that the brain had not been contained inside the skull. It had grown partially outside and had many fissures, and the halves were not completely connected in the front. Although Joey had really great skin on his sac, which was another blessing we feel God gave Joey, babies with encephalocele that are born alive usually have very weak skin that breaks apart, and the baby usually dies from an infection. The doctor said that Joey's basic functions of life were controlled by his brainstem. They said that newborn reactions are all controlled because of the brainstem, so they felt that as Joey got older, his brain wouldn't function properly because of all the deformities. So his pediatrician said he thought Joey would die from starvation most likely because he would forget how to eat or he would stop breathing. Of course, we know now that they can't be sure about anything with the brain. So they let us stay in the hospital for 5 days. We met so many amazing nurses. We are still good friends with some of them today. We were sent home on hospice, believing that Joey would pass away at any moment. We were scared to bring him home, not really sure how to handle him, although we were so excited that we had gotten to spend so much time with him. We felt God had already answered so many prayers, and we felt blessed. So Joey came home, and hospice continued to come out and see him. We had so many amazing nurses with hospice as well. We are also friends with many of those as well today. God is so amazing how he used Joey's birth and life to bring certain people into our lives. I remember one time I was out shopping. We used to get so many stares and questions because of Joey. But this time, the woman kept glancing over at us. And every time we come around the corner, she'd look at us. And finally, she came up to us and said, "Can I pray for your baby?" She didn't even ask what was wrong. She just knew something was wrong and wanted to pray for him. So, of course, I said yes, that we would take all the prayers we could take. And I thought she was going to walk away and pray for him at home. But no, she stopped right there in the middle of the store and prayed for him. She just didn't pray for him. She prayed for him very loudly. It was such so awesome. And I remember I was crying in the middle of the store as well. And but it was a very awesome experience. But about 3 months went by, and Joey was still with us. He was so normal except for the fact that he slept about 21 hours out of the day. So we decided to take him to see a neurosurgeon at Riley. Dr. Joel Boaz was and still is Joey's doctor. He's a really amazing surgeon, although even he had doubts about Joey. He told us he felt Joey would die before his first birthday. But he did want to make Joey as comfortable as possible, so we decided to have a shunt placed in Joey's skull to help drain the extra fluid. So at 4 months old, we had that surgery and also took Joey off of hospice. That surgery made Joey change so much. He was awake most of the day, and he started to have a little personality. We were so glad we decided to have the surgery, even though surgeries are a scary thing. Joey continued to grow and thrive, although his sack got so large he could never lift his head on his own. He tried so hard to crawl, but he couldn't. So our friend Laura had a guy make this cart, come up in a minute, so that Joey could crawl around. He really liked it. He would scoot around the entire living room on this thing and would smile so big. Then at about 10 months old, Joey got this wheelchair to help support his head so we could feed him easier and so he could look around. His head was so heavy that we could barely lift his head. Chris, myself, and the doctors decided to have a surgery to remove the sac as much as they could. So actually, a year ago yesterday, Joey had another surgery to remove the sac. We were so scared and nervous. We came to you guys and asked for prayers again. Your love and support was so amazing. Some of the ladies even organized a prayer vigil for him. The surgery went great. It was very long. We were in this waiting room. The surgery went great. It was very long, though. We were in the waiting room about 10 hours. But so many people came to visit and wait with us. Joey was at the hospital 5 days after that surgery. Everything went great. He healed perfectly. And these are some of his visitors. Run through those real quick. The day after his surgery, Joey flipped his head over from one side to the other, something he had never done before that day. 2 days after he was home, he lifted his head. Hang on, get through these pictures. Okay, he lifted his head. Five days after he was home, he was rocking his entire body back and forth. 2 weeks after his surgery, he was attempting to crawl. And 2 months after, he was pulling to stand at the couches. We were so thrilled. More prayers answered. We never in a million years thought he would even stand up or let alone walk on his own. God is so good. So as of now, Joey is running and even talking. He repeats everything he hears. You can go ahead and laugh, but he is even trying to pee on the potty. He sings the alphabet and even counts to 13. And no, I'm not joking on that. The only thing we find that is still a problem with Joey is his eyesight. We believe that his visual cortex is smaller than a normal one and that he will never be able to see 100% normal. We believe that is why he can't see detail as well as he should, like people's faces and TV screens. Of course, we continue to pray that God will fix his eyes. We definitely know that God will heal Joey if it's in his plan. Joey will also have, hopefully, his last surgery next summer to close in the hole in his skull. Until then, we will continue to wear his helmet to protect his brain. So the other day, I came upon another scripture that touched me so much it made me cry. And I told Chris I just had to share this with you. Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. He stood me on a rock and made my feet steady. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship him. Then they will trust the Lord. When I read this scripture the other day, I knew this is what God wants. He wants, and we want, Joey's life to reflect God's love and power to the world. I want people to trust in God. Before I leave today, I do want to give you a couple statistics about encephalocele, not because I believe that doctors are right about things like this all the time, but because our odds of Joey living was so slim that Joey shouldn't have lived. But God's mercy and love was so great that he gave him to us. In the U.S., there are 375 babies born every year with encephalocele. It's about 1 in 10,000. Out of those, only 75 of those are born alive. And out of those 75, only half of those actually survive in life. There is no doctor more powerful than the Lord Almighty. He made me wait for things I didn't necessarily want to wait for, but when I did, he gave me something so amazing. And I believe he has changed and will continue to change people's thoughts about abortion and show how much strength and power he really does have through miracles like Joey. I had to wait upon the Lord, but I praised him while I did, and I will continue to praise the Lord for all that he has done and all that he will do. And with all that, I really want to invite you all to his birthday party. I know Roger had told you about the invitation, but I'd love for everybody to come and just and celebrate with us Joey's 2 years on earth. God's blessing. The kids will have a lot of fun. It'll be a barnyard theme, so everybody welcome to dress up. But please RSVP so we know how much food to have and prizes for the kids. So I just thank you, everybody. Oops. And this is my Joey.
Morning. Thank you, Jamie, for sharing that. And God works in amazing ways, huh? Well, back in Jamie's story a ways, you've seen the bench. And the scripture on that bench that we came up with was Zechariah 4:6, and in that is God says, not by strength, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he was talking to Zechariah those days that his spirit would help build Jerusalem. And that same spirit of God that helped do great things back in Zechariah's day is still available to us today. And in God's word, he says, if you believe in me, if you repent, turn from your ways, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ruler of your life, be baptized, you will receive my Holy Spirit. And that is a promise from God. And when you receive this Holy Spirit, it's like a counselor. And this counselor, when it's received, he will start advising you. And the advice will be, Rob, read my Bible more. Read my Word. Seek me in my Word more. Rob, pray to me. Talk to me. Let me know your troubles. Let me know your joys. And in that, call to service. Rob, go serve my people out here that need you. Not just, you know, spiritual needs. People need physical needs as well. So the Holy Spirit will work in your life. You're called to do all this. And I look back at Jamie's story and I hear all of that happening. I mean, it's great. You know, people got together. They prayed to God for His truth, wisdom. Got together, you know, dug into God's Word to find answers to why. And people got together and helped out and served basic physical needs of someone in need. So, why did God allow Joey to be born with this disease? I don't know. Why does God allow Joey to run around the FLC and the foyer and get under our feet? I don't know that either. That's the way God works. His ways are not our ways. He does things that we will never understand. But I know God has a plan for Joey. He started his story. And just to see, and I'm just going to say where Joey's story has gone so far, for me, I've grown deeper in my faith in God. And I know Campbell's have grown closer to God in their faith. And I know all this church, this body of believers has witnessed what has gone on here. And I hope, it's my hope that we've all grown deeper and closer to God through this story of Joey that was supposed to never happen. That's the way God works. So, I just want to say, no matter where you're at today, whether you're sitting here struggling in deep troubles, or you're sitting here rejoicing in great blessings, I just encourage all of us to seek God and His truth and His mercy. God says in His Word, we will have trouble. We will have trials. Don't let anyone tell you any different. But God also says in His Word that through His Son, Jesus Christ, we have hope and we have salvation. I just want to say to you today, if Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, let Him in. I just want to us all open our hearts right now to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Oh, Holy God, I'm amazed again at the things You do for us as people that are seeking answers, God, to things that we don't understand. But You are faithful, God. You are faithful in Your Word. You are faithful through Your Holy Spirit, working in people's spirit, working in people's spirit.